Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Ron, and this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
Here we are with episode 19 of Digital Divination, and this could be quite possibly our last episode of the year. Primarily, this one is dated to come out on the 15th, I believe.
Oh. Right?
So, I mean, we could do another one on the 29th. The network has actually made all publishing optional between the 21st and like the 5th or 3rd or something, just to give people some time off. So I don't know. What's your schedule looking like then?
Well, we have this pandemic on, John. I'm not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. All right. So, yeah, this may not be the last one.
I mean, I'll be around, and this is it's fun to chat like this. So
yeah, it's easy enough to do. So, you know, I got to say, I was really happy. You know, we chat on kind of chat online like this quite a bit. I was really happy to get a chance to see you in person this week.
Oh yeah, that was very refreshing. I mean, even if it was like from one car to another.
Yes. So we had a con here, the Emerald Con, and one of the things that we gave away was a Pathfinder to a second edition core rulebook that Ron was gracious enough to personally sign a custom message to the recipient. And so I had to meet him in a parking lot, and his son was in the back taking Zoom classes.
That's right. He was in class, actually, if you can believe that.
I know. I couldn't believe we were talking there. I hope it didn't disrupt.
Well, and I had brought some work with me to do, just some papers I'd printed out. And at the last minute, he's like, Dad, I need some blank paper for math. I'm like, all right, let me just hand you the work I was planning to do. So
yeah.
There's a draft for an upcoming adventure that has a bunch of fourth grade math all over the back of it now.
Wow, so good stuff. Do you bring that to your pitch meetings? And I guess it's all virtual anyway. So
that's right. Notes mostly just help me, but I now can do the box method of multiplication while I'm doing things like that. So
the box, I don't even know what that means.
No, I didn't learn this either. it's a method of multiplying multiple digits. Numbers with multiple digits together, doing it place by place. So if you've got, like a three-digit number times a three-digit number, you multiply the first two digits together, and you make basically a box, a 9x9 box, and you multiply the hundreds by the hundreds and the tens and the ones, and then the tens by the hundreds and tens and the ones.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of see it. And then you add everything up. So you never have to do more than multiplying bigger than 9 times 9,
right.
You just have to know to put the right number of zeros at the end, and then you add everything up. So,
wow. So that, I think that's a really neat tool, because basically, when you do mental multiplication, that's what you're doing in your brain. But this is a good way to kind of visualize it and explain how it actually is supposed to work.
Right. And it's, people talk about, math, all this new math these days, and Common Core, and this isn't the math I learned. It's not, because it's not teaching you to do things by rote. It's teaching you to understand why we do the things we do to manipulate the numbers. And I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah, no, that's kind of neat. Anyway, so it was good to get a chance to see you, even though briefly and masked up and, from car to car, but
right.
In the rain.
That's correct.
But I will say that, that was instrumental in part for us able to raise $6,500 for
a
Food
Line
of Seattle. Yeah. So, which is, I think it's exceptionally important here for during the pandemic. A lot of folks are relying on food banks and things like that to help supplement whatever income that they have. So
have or don't have, right? There are a lot of people that are suffering with a job loss or similar, and food scarcity is a real issue. So that's great. It's a great cause. You know, I'm really excited to hear that that was the charity. I'm you know, almost, you know, really humbled by the fact that anybody would want anything. You know, I've put my signature in and a personal thank you message in, but that's good.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was really, and I like that you spent, you were very thoughtful about it, and especially, you know, referring to a specific item on a specific page that, you know, epitomized the individual. I thought that was, I was actually afterwards, I was able to hand it off to the individual. It was somebody local. We actually met in the Paizo parking lot because that was near where we were.
Yeah, both of you knew where it was. So. Right.
And they were very pleased. They were embarrassed by how cool it was, I think.
Oh, that's neat.
So, yeah, so it was well-deserved too. That they had done a tremendous amount for the con. So that was, it was really nice. It was really nice that you were able to do that. And then we actually were able to give it to the individual as a gift. So
great.
Well, what else, you know, Christmas is coming up for you and I. We both celebrate Christmas.
Yep. Yep.
I know not everybody does. You know, we've been trying to do our Christmas shopping, my wife and I, and it really isn't the same. You know, I see this, I pretty much just shop Amazon for the most part. And, you know, trying to figure out, is it going to get here in time? How are we going to get it to the person or delivering it and stuff like that? You know, my daughter's up in Calgary and she's been making gifts. So she's been staying up there and isolating with her in her small bubble. And one of the things that she's doing is making handmade gifts. So
that's sweet.
Well, she's made a whole big Afghan for her boyfriend's family, you know, multicolored, super soft Afghan. And then she just finished that. It took her 3 weeks to make it. And then she's making wool socks, hand knitting for her her boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah. And she showed them to us. And like, you know, I was asking everything looks so good, like so, you know, professional. We're asking, you know, where did you learn to do this? You know, she's knitted stuff, but usually it's like a square blanket or, you know, pretty plain. These are very complex stitches she's putting in. And she said, I just looked at YouTube videos and figured it out.
That's how, you know, and that's how younger, you know, the younger people are learning everything. I guess I am too, right? I had to change the light out of the front of my car when it burned out. I went to get the new bulb and I thought, man, how do I even put this in? And YouTube told me how, but it's how, you know, girls, I've got tween girls. That's how they learn to do makeup. They watch YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a real education. I'm really impressed. I don't know that I could do an Afghan in 3 years, much less 3 weeks. That's pretty impressive.
Well, you know, she would practice doing scarves and small blankets and things, you know, little things like for the cats or whatever. And this was basically a big queen size deal where she did multiple skeins. So, you know, each like, I guess it was like maybe a foot and a half section was one skein, and she alternated colors and things. And it turned out really, and I told her, I said, man, you know, this is a you know, a true gift of love that she's created for somebody. It would be, anybody would be happy to receive something so special, you know.
That is really neat. I actually have, as of today, sort of a touching story about that. My father's oldest brother just passed away last night, lost his battle with cancer. And we haven't seen him for, you know, a decade at least, but his wife, my aunt, made a big baby blanket for my oldest daughter, who's now 12, and she still sleeps with that blanket. It's when we were younger, we called it the blanket that you love. And so now it doesn't have a name, right? It's not a blanket or anything. It's the blanket that I love. So the fact that family has been able to touch us through a gift like that for so long is something that's really come to the fore today. And that's really neat. It's really touching.
Well, and it really goes to show that, especially during these pandemic times, when a lot of people are out of work or, you know, really struggling financially, that there are other ways to kind of make a memorable and well appreciated gift, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So Christmas isn't always, especially, you know, like this Christmas, I know you decorated your house and everything.
We did. Yeah. We kind of went nuts, but yeah.
Yeah. Normally, you know, I put lights out and we do lots of things, and my wife and I just haven't been really feeling like it just doesn't feel like Christmas now. And so we put up a tree and it's lighted, but that's about it. You know, we haven't really, you know, there's no presents around it yet. We'll probably, you know, we're going to give each other a couple things, but there's nothing we really need. And so we're just kind of keeping it low key. It's just, you know, I've got the ultimate gift from her already, and I don't know how I can give that back.
Yeah, you don't have any spare organs to return.
Yeah,
to her.
I don't have a way to repay that. So, you know, no, pretty much actually, it's funny because I told her over the summer, I said, yeah, you know, anything you want, you can have now. And so, you know, she wanted a new refrigerator for our place in Camano, so we got that. And the old stove was on the fritz, so I got a refurbished stove for her up there. And
That's nice. That's nice.
You know, so, yeah, so when you come up, you guys, you know, if you want to book for Easter, you should be doing that soon.
Oh, let's put in let me save that. Let me reserve that spot the Easter weekend. That's it's a great place. See the new fridge, new stove. I'm starting to feel a little bit of the traditional Ron Lundin Christmas spirit in that I'm now at the point where I feel like it is close enough to Christmas that I should have bought something for my wife, and I have not yet bought anything for my wife. And so the panic kind of is starting to set in a little bit. And I know that panic is going to sort of get me through until my usual shopping day of December 22nd or 23rd. And, you know, tis the season. I know what to get her, but I'm not a big online shopper. And so it's something I want to be careful about, going to a store when they're open and, you know, appropriately masked and everything, so I can get the right thing. It's not so bad. I have to take a day to do that. And my kids are old enough now that I can have them, you know, help give me ideas. So anyway, it's good. It'll happen, but not right now.
Well, that's the thing. So my wife said, you know, she doesn't need anything, and I really don't need anything, but we're going to give each other some little gifts. And so it's thinking, so what, you know, I have some ideas, and most of them are kind of boring and lame. And so I need to, you know, I just want to come up with something. And it used to be, you know, when we want to do something little, we do an ornament or something like that. And now, you know, we haven't done that for a while because, you know, we've been married 32 years. That's a lot of ornaments that we've given each other.
64 on the tree, one each year. And anyway, that's all right.
And, you know, and I've done some other little things like that. But yeah, it's really, I don't know. The panic isn't quite there yet for me to get it figured out. And, you know, so we're taking care of, like, you know, relatives and, you know, the cousins and her sisters and her mother. You know, we've been doing things like, she actually went down to her mom's house and cleaned all her windows. Her mom didn't want anything for Christmas. So my wife, who works for a company that does window cleaning, all that kind of stuff, she brought a bunch of gear down and just did all the windows because they probably hadn't been done in 15 years. And
oh, that's nice.
You know,
that's
made nice. Her thinner and everything. So.
Yeah, my mom's the same way. She insists she doesn't need anything. This year we're getting her a goat in Africa. My mom spent 3 years in the Peace Corps in Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that we're doing this year is we're buying through a charity arrangement, we're buying a goat for a family in her name.
Wow.
Nice. And I, you know, she's like that. We've done stuff like that for her before, planted, you know, had numerous trees planted in her name, things like that. She insists she doesn't need anything. And then we want to do something that at least lets her know, first, that we're thinking about her, and second, that we're thinking about some of the causes and issues that she cares about. So,
yeah, I thought you were going to like give her a goat in her house, kind of like you have the chickens there, you know.
I think we'd have to start with chickens, I suppose. She actually could probably do with a couple of chickens. Now that I think about it, they're way easier than I ever thought they were.
Yeah, do you like it's raining, like when it rains and gets cold, do you still have like heat lamps and stuff? And
No. They get just... when it rains, they get wet.
They get wet. Huh? They don't care.
they have a coop, and they'll go in, and the coop is raised up by about a foot, so they'll either go in or under the coop when it's really rainy. As long as they can roost, the cold doesn't come up through their claws. They don't have to worry about getting too cold, and they pack in together. We have more than I thought, more than I wanted. We have 8 rather than the 4 or 5 I wanted, but.
Oh, so you're getting a lot of eggs then.
We are. We're having a hard time sort of going through the, do you want some eggs, John? We got.
You know what? I eat eggs every day. I have a kind of a high protein diet because for my kidney and stuff, just to help recovery and things. And I actually go, you know, we go through a couple of eggs every day. I don't know if I could go through as many as that you need me to go through.
Next time
we meet up, just bring a dozen.
Then I'll pass eggs. Exactly. I think we got 5 eggs yesterday. Yeah, and I don't know how many we got today. My office is just near enough to the chickens that during the day when I hear a bark, 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 I know, oh, they're laying.
There you go. Wow. So, and is your daughter still pretty, are your kids, I don't know if it's just the oldest, but are your kids excited about the chickens still, or is that just kind of?
Yes, it's actually kind of fallen to my, they all like the chickens, but really it's fallen to my youngest daughter. I remember hearing that in farm families, like the youngest kid, usually the youngest girl, would be responsible for the chickens. And in part, that's because chickens aren't very hard to deal with.
Right.
But it's also because it's a measure of sort of important daily responsibility, but not one that carries a real high cost if they don't do it, if they skip a day or something. So my youngest is the one who's actually sort of bonding the most with the chickens now, because it is mostly her time to do it. And she knows what the kids have named them all. And I don't know. I mean, they're the chickens to me. I don't have any particular names. We go to put them in at night and sort of latch the coop. They put themselves in, but we latch the coop so critters can't get in and get at them. But there's always one that's sitting on top of the hutch. I don't actually know how it gets up there, but it's always 7 of them go in and cluster all together, and this one's always sitting right up on top.
So do chickens fly?
They can. They don't fly very far.
Okay.
I think the record is something like 130 feet or something like that. They can. We don't clip their wings or anything. They tend to stay around the food. The only time they fly out of the chicken run that we have is when they are out of food and want to peck in the grass of the yard to see if they can get some. If I see a chicken loose, rather than do anything about it, I'll tell my youngest daughter, I'm like, hey, a chicken is out. That means they're out of food. Go feed them. Wow. And put the chicken back.
that is a nice little alarm system for them.
That's true. It's easier for them to get out into my yard. I worry that someday they'll get into the neighbor's yard, or even the catty corner neighbor's yard that has a dog, and that will be the end of that chicken. But we'll see.
Yeah, well, then you won't have too many chickens.
That's right. It's a problem that solves itself over time.
Well, that was... You know, I was more discussion about chickens than I expected, but it was really interesting.
Probably than any of our listeners expected, too.
Well, you know, but I think if I find it interesting, then maybe somebody out there might as well. I don't know. I've been kind of intrigued since you got them, and we've talked about them before. So this will probably come up on occasion. And in fact, we might want to have the chicken check-in each time, but I don't know.
Maybe not every time, what are we on? This is episode 19?
19.
All right. Yeah. I promise every 19th episode, I'll give you a full update.
We'll get the full chicken update. Yeah. Well, we got the update before where you had a rooster.
That's true. Right? Yeah. So that was
part of the discussion at one time.
Oh man. We are regularly talking about the chickens now, I guess. So.
All right. Well, I was GMing our convention, actually, which happened over the 3rd through 5th of December, so just over a week ago. And I had a player that came up with a really cool soldier build, and it made me think, you know what? I need to make a new soldier. I have right currently in society play, I have a level 13 soldier, and in the APs, nobody lets me play a soldier. So I only got to do it in society play. And so I'm thinking I'm going to make, cause I can't play level 13 anymore. There's no content out yet for it.
Right.
So I'm making a new soldier, and I've gotten enough GM credit. So he's almost level 3. And, so I decided I want to make, kind of a ranged, it's a reach kind of attacker. And so let me just tell you what this guy had. And it's a really neat combo. And I've thought about parts of it. But basically he had a dragonkin, which is a large size society legal, playable race. And, dragonkin has reach, and he used a reach weapon on top of that. So going from, you know, usual reach is 5 feet. So, reach from a large creature goes to 10, and then with a reach weapon, you go to 15 feet.
Okay.
Right. So that's kind of neat. Now, what makes it even more interesting is, so he has this and he has cleave, and that's okay. But what makes it really interesting is that there's it's a soldier,
a feet boost
called, do you know what I'm going to say?
Oh, I just saw this. I don't know what it's called, but I just saw this the other day.
Spinning cleave. And basically anything, you can cleave between any two creatures that are within your reach.
And he's covering an area 40 feet across, right? Because he's a 10 foot square and it's 15 feet on either side.
Yes. And so basically having this creature now, and you can take cleave at first or second level, right? You can take it as a combat feat, and then you can get a feat boost as your first gear boost, right? Feat boost at level 3. So at level 3, you can have this creature that's cleaving anything within 20 feet of you.
That's pretty amazing.
Or 15-foot reach.
15-foot reach. So, yeah. But that's most rooms, right? If you're fighting indoors, that's sort of the especially if you put yourself in the middle of the room, that's kind of anybody anywhere.
Yeah, I was actually do attacks of opportunity and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I was just looking at these feat boosts the other day, and I was not completely impressed. I think some of the gear boosts are, you know, fine. And when I saw that there was the rules in, and it's a character operations manual, I want to say, where there's the rules to replace the gear boost you would get by taking a feat boost that makes an existing feat you have work a little bit better.
Right.
I thought, oh, well, that's a neat idea. And my eyes immediately landed on the feat boosts that were all about when you would do X and take an armor class penalty, you don't take the penalty. Or when you would do Y and take an armor class penalty, you don't take the penalty. I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem very exciting. I don't, maybe these feat boosts aren't all that they're, you know, that I initially thought they might be. But then I saw the one that makes cleave not have to be adjacent opponents. I'm like, ooh, I take it all back. That's a nice one. So when you started talking about it, I immediately remembered. I'm like, oh, that was the one that I thought was so good.
Yeah, so I'm working on this character. And right now, you know, I have enough levels to, he's like one scenario away from third level. So I might just GM another 1-4 so he can come out basically doing the spinning cleave thing. And so that's like, that's kind of the main idea. So pretty much make him is the dragon can, he gets a +4 to strength. So he's like really, really strong. But he gets a -2 to, dexterity. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the trade-off you're getting with him. And so I'm trying to figure out, okay, so what fighting style should I go with? Now I already have a soldier who's got a blitz fighting style as
that,
a primary.
That would have been my first suggestion, would be blitz for a character like this. So you can really sort of get up there in the middle of things.
Right. But you don't, you don't have to be really fast to get up there. And so I started thinking a little bit outside the box with what could I do with just pure strength? Right. And so blitz kind of made sense, but I thought I have one of those. So I looked at two other ones, and, one of them was the Wrathful Warrior. Let me see if I can pull up what that is.
Oh, so that's the one that kind of rages. That's in
right.
That's in the same book, and I don't know if this is Character Operations Manual, where they had kind of a monk-like soldier and then kind of a barbarian-like soldier. all right. Oh, and then kind of a ranger type soldier. I think the hunter is in there too.
Right. Well, yeah, it's, I don't know if it's quite like a ranger, but more like a hunter, but it's similar, same kind of idea.
Thematically, so, yeah.
Yeah. So Wrathful Warrior was one I was thinking about. Basically, you know, you can get into this frenzy where you get bonuses to damage and will saves and a minus to your AC. So a lot like Berserk, if you think of old school Berserk.
Yep.
Has ignore pain. Has this, as you get higher up, has something else called close enough to kill. So if you miss, but it's not a one, you can spend a resolve to treat it as a successful hit. So it seems kind of okay. Again, it kind of fits kind of the theme of somebody that's attacking a lot. And then I started thinking, well, what if I want to do something that's really different? How much, you know, I was thinking about just cleave and spinning cleave and reach. Well, none of those are really, really feat boost or style dependent, right?
Right.
There's just a couple of things you need and you can do whatever you want. And so then I started thinking about something that somebody else had been playing, that we have a player who's playing a Mystic, and just as a damage dealer, he hauls around a weapon that does explode.
Okay.
Now, the reason why he does this is if you use a weapon with the explode property, you don't actually have to hit a person. You have to hit a grid square, a grid intersection.
Oh, like hucking a grenade. You're trying to hit an area rather than a...
Right. Hmm. And that's really easy to hit. You just need a five. Right?
You could have any kind of, you know, penalties, debuffs that you're suffering from and still reliably be able to do that.
Right. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, how about I do, and we have one in our AP group, a bombard soldier.
Okay.
You know, so basically you get a grenade, and that's kind of cool. You know, first level, you can make any grenade up to your level and have it ready to go. But what I thought was more interesting, and I knew this in the past, and this is the thing that really appealed to me about Bombard, is at level 5, you get this thing called Heavy Fire. And so at level 5, you can use your physical power to steady your weapon and make your attacks more dangerous. As a full action, you can make a single ranged attack that deals additional damage equal to your strength bonus to all targets.
Ooh.
And this can be used with an automatic explode or unwieldy special property weapon. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have a dex, negative dex or low dex on this guy.
Right, right.
He's going to have a high strength. So what if I make him a bombard soldier that uses some sort of explode weapon, and he can add all this strength to each of the targets that gets hit with the explode property.
That's pretty nice. Would that be in addition to, what is it, cooking the grenade to raise the DC and make it even more likely that you're taking damage?
Well, so those are things that I could take. So those are, what do you call those? They're not, they're gear boosts, right?
Okay, so you can mix and match with your...
Right, so you can mix and match. Because anybody can cook a grenade, right? You don't have to be a bombard soldier specifically. But so I was just thinking, again, trying to think something that's different than what I have, which is, a blitz soldier. And I've always liked kind of the bombard. But for this one, because it has the strength, it would be a really good melee character and still an adequate ranged area of effect damage dealer. So that was kind of my thoughts on this particular build that I'm looking at.
And that sounds not at all bad. I really don't think a dexterity penalty on a soldier is going to hurt you too much, because you're going to be taking heavy armor that has a pretty low max dex anyway, right? Having a good dexterity and then getting into heavy armor doesn't help generally.
Right. Yeah. The most, you know, typically you might get a you know, three.
Two, usually sometimes a three.
Right.
Sometimes a one. I mean, you're.
But if I was to do something else, I was looking at maybe having some sort of ranged attack. So I could do sharpshooter or shock and awe or something else. Mm-hmm. But for me, this character is all about doing damage to multiple things. right?
Right. So, you know, with the grenade, with the cleave,
explode. Yeah. And so making it thematically, this is your area damage dealer, you know, your general DPS. It's not going to have the same sort of focus damage that, like, a sharpshooter with Soldier's Onslaught. Basically, you know, at higher levels, you're getting, you know, three attacks or more round at no minuses. You know, I've had, I was GMing a game when I had a level 12 sharpshooter in there. In one round, it did 150 points of damage.
Wow.
Only hit twice out of three. So one of them was a crit. But, you know, she was hitting almost every single time. And, you know, she was doing, you know, 50 points of pop at that. That's a lot of concentrated damage, you know. And so, yeah, you could do something like that. But I was looking at, you know, what can I do for, you know, kind of area effect or multiple target damage. So that was just kind of a thought. Now, have you done a soldier in Starfinder at all?
I haven't. I might have played one just for a session or two of organized play. I haven't played very many sessions of organized play, and I've got a tendency to just put something together real quick that just seems interesting. So I'll get some sort of, you know, mystic with a strange connection that I haven't seen before. If I was putting together a soldier for something a little more long-term, you mentioned the shock and awe style. That really appeals to me. I think the bright damage effect that on a weapon is maybe the lamest one, right? It just makes your target glow a little bit.
Yeah.
But having, I just think the chutzpah of saying, okay, we're going to make a fighting style that's all about that, right? Mm-hmm. You are the noisiest, brightest, attention-drawingest fighter around. I think that's actually super appealing. The fact that you can add the bright quality to weapons, and then later you can hinge better effects on anything that has the bright quality, kind of makes it mechanically worthwhile. But I think sort of, if I'm going to be a soldier, or rather, if I'm going to be somebody that's kind of skulking around or fighting at a distance, I've really liked operatives for that kind of thing. If I'm going to be somebody who's going to get right up in there, I'm going to be just the most, you know, loud and ostentatious, get right in your face kind of character. And shock and awe is perfect for that. So that's what I've been thinking about.
Well, and it would be a lot of fun to role play that too.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. And I think it would work well if there were people in the party who preferred to be like subtle or sneaky, because I think the most common phrase I'd ever use would be, okay, I'll distract them. And and then do just that.
Yeah. Now with the shock and awe, is that all ranged? Is it all the stuff it does ranged?
I don't know, but there's plenty of great short range weapons. There's plenty of weapons that we found, like in the AP, we're like, oh, that's pretty good. Oh no, the range is really cruddy. Right. But I'm like, no, you can build a character that relies on getting up there with more short range actions. Let me see if I can find it here.
Limited to it. I think it can be any weapon you wield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can demoralize people.
Well, you know what? One of the really cool things about Soldier is that at, I think it's level 9, you can actually pick a second fighting style, right? A secondary fighting style.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And that's, you know, when you mentioned before about how Blitz would be so great for the thing I'm building, you know, I'm actually, you know, one of the coolest things about Blitz is that extra speed and your extra initiative that you get at first level.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, well, I'll just get that at 9th level. You know, that's, you know, same thing like for my other soldier, which is a Blitz soldier, for ranged attacks, he uses Star Knife, you know, kind of a throwing weapon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I took Sharpshooter just to negate 2 points of cover, you know, when I got to 9th level, basically to get that little extra bonus there to ranged attacks, you know. So there's actually a lot of power in kind of one level soldier, depending on which fighting style you pick, too.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Which makes Soldier really popular in a lot of multi-class combinations.
Yeah, speaking of which, you know, you bring that up. Actually, one of our listeners had a question about that. So basically they're asking, what are some interesting classes to multi-class with Soldier? I'm planning on doing a Soldier Envoy for their Fly Free or Die character. And actually I should confirm who said this just to give a, oh, this is MiralWolf9 asked this question on our Discord. And yeah, what are your thoughts about, have you thought much about multi-classing, you know, maybe taking a different soldier or actually doing a full multi-class with it?
Well, I have, yeah, a little bit. And in fact, I mentioned that, look, if I'm going to be somebody who sort of stays in the back or at the edges of a fight and shoots things, snipes from a distance, if not specifically with sniper weapons, then I'd consider operative. But if I needed some extra oomph, I would do operative soldier multi-class. I think that's mm-hmm. kind of a classic, solid, reliable pairing.
Mm-hmm.
How about yourself?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have one already, and I think the most common one I see is a Soldier Solarian, in part because so many, the original Solarian, when it first came out, you know, you could be an armor Solarian or you could be a weapon Solarian. Now you can, they have a solar flare, so you kind of be a ranged Solarian as well. But, you know, I have a, actually an uplifted bear.
Who,
I'm playing an AP. And he is a weapon Solarian, and by taking one level of soldier, I can get heavy armor, which is really helpful for if you're getting up front and doing melee stuff. And you also get additional 10 speed on top of that. And the uplifted bear, it gets a speed boost already, so now he's like 50 to get started, and you get +4 to your initiative. So that's actually a lot of fun in our particular game. This is, I'm actually playing with Scott and some other folks on the Wednesday opposite when we play our Intrepid Heroes. He's the frontliner, you know, everybody else is ranged. I get in the middle of everything. I mix it up, and being able to have heavy armor from that soldier dip helps a lot.
No, I can see that it would. That actually seems like a really reasonable combination. I think that in fact, early on, somebody mentioned to Stephanie in our Intrepid Heroes game, oh, you're Solarian, you know, might you benefit from a level or two of soldier? And I think her attitude was, hey, if I'm going Solarian, I'm going all in, right?
Well, and there's a benefit to that because there's some really cool things. What we're like level 9 right now. There's some cool things that she's going to be getting, I think, at level 10 that basically would get put off a level if she'd sacrificed it.
That's right. Yeah, she's got like a teleportation ability now.
Okay, that's one of them.
Yeah, wormhole and speed of light, things like that. So
yeah, it starts getting really cool at higher levels. So the sooner you can get to that.
Yep.
Now I do. I have another friend that has a soldier technomancer, and basically he like supercharges his weapon and you know uses some spells to enhance his ability to attack and do damage primarily. So
and that. There's a lot to be had for that. There's a lot of spells where I think the intent supercharge weapon is a fine example where they thought, all right, well, a technomancer could help buff up a friend with this. And you look at the spells and think, well, why not myself? Right. And that works great too.
And it gives you quite a bit of balance. Cause one of the issues you run into with a straight soldier is you only get 4 skill points per level. And then you usually don't have very high intelligence, so you don't get any other bonuses. So oftentimes soldiers, you know, they might be good at survival, good at athletics, maybe engineering, maybe intimidate. But they're other than the athletics, typically there's usually somebody else in the party that's better than them at all that stuff. Now, if you multi-class with Technomancer or Envoy or something else, you know, I actually saw a battle mystic, you know, which was a mystic multi-classing with soldier today, you know, so you kind of expand your skill pool a little bit more in the things that are, you know, class skills. So you get your bonuses from that, and things that, number of skill points you get, you can actually do more outside of battle, which is, you know, yes, fighting is fun, but it, you know, for any scenario or AP or homebrew, that's usually not the majority of what you're doing.
That's right. That's right. Which is why I think the question of, you know, hey, is a, you know, what do you think of a soldier envoy? I think pretty highly of that. I think that that lets you expand into the skill use to be, I mean, obviously an intimidator, but any other type of social skill you want to do, the envoy will give you plenty of, and the soldier is going to give you, you know, some extra, you know, some extra defenses and extra ability to take the hits that come your way when you, you know, negotiations go south, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you looked at the precog class at all in the playtest?
I haven't, other than to sort of skim through the precog spells. I was more interested in the playtest to see what they were going to do with the spells, because everybody's got their own level zero spell, their own type of other spells. So I kind of went right to the spells to think, oh, what are they going to do with, you know, and they've got these really interesting debuffs and things like that. So I think that's where I went. I haven't looked at the precog abilities in a lot of detail. Do you think they'd work with soldier?
Well, I was actually with precog having it basically dexterity based spell casting. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking a dex based soldier would be kind of a neat mix with that, you know?
Yeah, and then you've got good. You could be really hit all the dexterity skills that are sometimes really important for the actual physical act of adventuring. You know, ducking under things and, you know, getting out of the way of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like with a sharpshooter, you know, you could be, you know, basically dexterity based and do quite a bit of damage that way, and still have neat spell casting and skill points to spend on things. Similar to like if you were to do a dexterity based technomancer soldier mix, something like that. But with the technomancer, you kind of have to fill both dex and intelligence. But with a precog, you could just really pump up your dexterity. And I mean, I think you'd see huge benefits from that. Of course, you could also do that with an operative as well.
That's right. And that's why precog's been getting some criticism, is because maybe it's too good to be able to not just build everything onto dexterity within that class, but with the other classes like soldier that can really benefit from a high dexterity.
Right. Well, I think that's the issue with any dex based skills, and you know, because dex helps your attack, helps your defense, helps your reflexes. You know, it really covers a lot more ground than wisdom or, you know, charisma at least helps a little bit with your damage dealing with your Solarians if you have the right crystals and stuff. But yeah, I think it's really powerful. Whereas like strength, pretty much to hit and do damage, but it, you don't get a lot, you know, it doesn't help your AC at all, except I guess you can wear powered armor, but.
Well, and a lot of the skills that rely on strength are things that technology gets you past, right? Eventually you won't need to be worrying about climbing up things or, you know, you'll have, you know, jump jets or what have you to get past the sort of athletic things that you would otherwise use. So.
Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking, I think precog would be a fun one to cross with soldier for a dex based one. So that's just,
I think that's kind of,
right there. And you had something to do with some precog, I hear.
I did. I actually went to the spells first because I had the zero level spell. I wrote the zero level spell for the
something. Yes.
Yeah. And that actually, I really have to hand it to my developers. Joe Pacini in particular was so professional about it. I'd written a whole suite of spells, for the book that the precog is going in. And I included the level zero spell, and he came to me, said, I'd really like to include the level zero spell you made for the precog in the playtest. Not only will that give it a real sense of its own identity, but it'll be kind of the base thing that precogs need that they can't just steal from other spell lists, is their zero level spell and the higher level ones. But he didn't mention that at the time because I hadn't written those. I wrote the zero level one. Mm-hmm. But the reason he came to me to ask is because I hadn't formally been paid for that yet. And so he's like, I don't want to use it. I can understand, Ron, if you tell me, I would rather not that be used or seen until I'm actually paid for it. And I'm like, oh, that's a real kind thing to to ask and a real, you know, real important consideration for keeping some professionalism. But no, I want to see it. I want to see what people think about it. So I think that's been sort of part of the precog experience as well. I'm excited about that. I think conceptually I'm excited about precogs. I know we're talking about soldiers, not precogs, but that's something that I think is kind of a neat class, a really neat addition to the game. They're really good about adding classes that until I see them, I didn't realize how much I'd missed them. Something like a witch warper or a biohacker. I'm like, wait, I didn't realize till I saw that class how much I wanted it.
Well, you know, it's actually kind of exciting with the nanocyte and the precog coming out here in the future. I'm kind of excited to see what other type of classes come out, because with the newer classes, you know, the biohacker, the witch warper, the vanguard, and now these two here, we're getting further and further away from kind of the core of what you expect, you know, for Pathfinder in space to be. You know, mm-hmm. it's you're seeing less direct analogs from Pathfinder into Starfinder, and it's kind of becoming its own thing in that regard. And that's really neat to see.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Pathfinder became its own thing from 3.5 with the advent of the Advanced Player's Guide way back when. And it's neat to see Starfinder kind of going through the same thing in its own identifiable and unique way.
Well, you know, I hope we get another chance to talk here before the end of the year. I think we will.
Yeah, if you're not going anywhere, I'm not going anywhere. I think we can count on finding the time.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm John.
And I'm Ron. And this is Digital Divination.